Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to the New Cyber Frontier, and today we have a guest, Robert Bob Wright, and he is the president of the Armed Forces Communication and Electronic Association, or AFCEA for short. We like the short, that's for sure. But Bob is in that's his volunteer work, and wow, what a big task. But in his day job, he's a business consultant and has his own business doing that, and a seasoned, past in the Air Force, working on both sides, government contracting Air Force, and now he helps people put it together and helps organize AFCEA. So Bob, welcome today.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here and share my experiences with you.
Yeah, we're definitely looking to know more about AFCEA. But first of all, tell me about yourself. Sure. What do you like? How did you get where you're at? What's your favorite things to do when you're not doing all this work-related stuff?
Well, I spent over 25 years in the Air Force. I graduated from the United States Air Force Academy right here in Colorado Springs and immediately went into the space business because a big love of mine has been the space business. And that afforded me the opportunity to be around true scientists and engineers. Mm-hmm. Because it really is rocket science. You know, the mission I had in my first job, the mission of the organization I belonged to, the Space and Missile Systems Center, was to design, develop, and acquire spacecraft and launch systems. So I spent a career helping develop spacecraft that we actually launched on orbit, spent some time at a West Coast launch range launching rockets, and finished my career at Schriever Air Force Base, where I commanded a unit that flew spacecraft, so we operated spacecraft. And in between those years, I worked in the communications business. So I commanded several field units, installing fiber optic cable, installing inside and outside plant, working telephone systems, installing telephone switches, working computer information systems. So I'd say I've had a career of sort of high-tech kinds of capabilities and common information technology kinds of things.
So do you consider yourself an engineering type or a business type or a combination?
I consider myself a combination, but really a business type. So after I retired from the Air Force in 2010, I took a job with a small company called Integral Systems out of Maryland. Integral Systems was a software company that had developed some command and control software to fly satellites at Schriever Air Force Base. So it was a natural fit for me. But I was a business manager. I ran the Colorado Springs operation, and I ran several units dislocated, one in California, one in Maryland, one in Virginia, and one here. And my job was really set the financial targets, the incentives, and the capabilities of the organization of about 225 people, about $75 million in annual sales.
Okay. So we just talked a lot about work. What do you like to do in your personal time?
So I'm married and I have two daughters, and I spend most of my personal time with my daughters, which includes lots of basketball games, lots of cross-country meets.
I thought you were going to say Barbies and stuff.
No, they're 13 and 15, so we've moved a little bit beyond that. And now it's soccer mom and soccer dad.
Well, awesome. Do they go to high school then? Or wait, one would be in middle school and the other in high school.
One's in middle school at the Classical Academy. And one's in high school. She's a sophomore at the Classical Academy College Pathways Program, which is sort of a hybrid online, at-home, in-school program, which really enables students to finish high school faster and with college credits. And so she's really enjoying that.
Does she? I mean, is she able to keep up or keep ahead on that type of?
It's very demanding because it's individual at your own pace, but it's a guided pace, and so you have to keep up. But it's really geared for students that are better suited to do things on their own and want to do things on their own, want to spend a little bit less time in the classroom, and really have the initiative and organization skills to do it on their own.
Well, that's good. It's good that they do, because then do you just let them take off and go on their own, or do you have a lot of guidance?
So there's some structured time, but mostly it's really about allowing her to understand the importance of of time management.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So, Avcia, tell us about this organization and, you know, first of all, just what the organization is about.
Sure.
Who would are your members? The size is pretty large here.
It's a large.
Won some awards, too, from you said.
We have. So the Armed Forces Common Electronics Association is actually an international association with over 31,000 members from Colorado to New York to Germany to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a professional organization and a nonprofit. It's a 501c3. And the objective of the organization, the mission, is to really bridge the gap between the military community, the government community, and the civilian private sector in all matters pertaining to cyberspace security, policy, and the like. So we have lots of tech exchanges and fora all over the country. And this local chapter is just one of 150 chapters around the world. The Rocky Mountain chapter is located here in Colorado Springs and really serves from Denver down to Pueblo.
Mm-hmm.
We have almost 800 members, and we were recently voted by the Colorado Springs Business Journal as the second best professional organization to be involved with in Colorado Springs. So that's a pretty good honor.
Yeah. And we won't ask you what the first one is. I did before the show. But as far as 800 members, how do you compare to other chapters? Are you pretty large?
So we have chapters in Northern Virginia and the Washington, D.C. area that are much larger.
Mm-hmm.
And we have smaller chapters all around in smaller towns and smaller local communities. They tend to be located near military installations because the military is a big chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so here in Colorado Springs, we're very lucky because most people don't know that we're the only congressional district in the United States that actually has 5 military bases. And so we've got a lot of feeder people in the military, a lot mm-hmm. of defense contractors that make up the hub of our membership.
So you consider that you're mostly supporting military and government contracting, or do you have a bigger picture other than that?
Primarily military and government contracting.
Okay.
And so we have an annual cyberspace symposium that we've done now for 32 years, the last 15 years at the Broadmoor Hotel and Resort.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring together a couple of thousand people every February, and this year, February 6th through the 9th, to have a series of technical discussions and keynote speeches, including this year, Governor Hickenlooper, down at the Broadmoor. And so we'll have 2,000 people down there. We've actually sold out the hotel. We'll have 110 vendors from all kinds of companies.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have key sponsors with names that you recognize. Verizon's a key sponsor. Microsoft's a key sponsor. AT&T, Deloitte & Touche. We have a number of key sponsors that help make it worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And the objective, of course, is for us as a 501c3 to raise money for students, STEM scholarships, teachers, teacher grants, school districts, and the local science fair.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually give away over $100,000 a year to local students that are going to college in a declared STEM major.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a renewable scholarship for them for the next 3 years after they finish their freshman year. We also generate funds for teachers, for classroom support. We've donated money for 3D printing. We've donated money for very simple things like microscopes. We've given mm-hmm. money to school districts that wanted to start certain programs. We gave a big donation to St. Mary's High School, for example, that started a program for engineering engineering thought
mm-hmm.
and getting kids attracted to the engineering programs. So we're really STEM focused. That's science, technology, engineering, and math. And we do a variety of things, including the local science fair in the school districts. We donate $5,000 a year to help those kids there. And our real objective is to be ingrained in the community, to support local students in their STEM endeavors to go to college,
mm-hmm.
to support local schools and school districts in preaching the philosophy of this necessary STEM business for the future.
Okay. So other organizations in town, like the Space Foundation, ISSA, the NCC, are you involved with those as well?
We are involved with other organizations like the Air Force Association, like the NDIA, the National Defense Industry Association. We are partnering with the Catalyst Campus, a new entity here in downtown, the Southern mm-hmm. Colorado Technology Alliance. Mm-hmm. And we partner with those folks to raise money. We partner with those folks to bridge the gap between small businesses that want to hook up with larger businesses. We help train small businesses on how to do government work and contract with the government. We're working with the Catalyst Campus, whose real focus is to bring together not so much an incubator of businesses, but to bring business together and help them get and win government contracting. Mm-hmm. So we're really looking at helping businesses thrive and stay in the local area.
Okay. So cybersecurity, this is the Cyber Symposium, Cyberspace Symposium. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, when I look back and I look through a lot of the other stuff, you're not focused on cybersecurity as much as just communications and space in general. Is cybersecurity a relatively newer target approach?
So we actually changed the name of this event a few years ago to Cyberspace Symposium mm-hmm. in recognition of Air Force Space Command's now dual mission in space and cybersecurity. So the focus really is on cyber. And for example, the theme for this year's event, again, February 6th through the 9th at the Broadmoor, is IoT, the Internet of Things, protecting, connecting, and mm-hmm. impacting. And so what we're going to talk about is, while cyber has enabled every human being to be connected 24 hours a day, it's enabled very convenient ability to look at your home security from distance through a mobile device, mm-hmm. to monitor your home security, to monitor things. The challenge with it is the security piece of it. And so now that you're connected, how is the security piece of that impacting you? And what are the technologies that can make security even better? Mm-hmm. So we'll explore those with companies like Cisco, companies like Symantec, all the familiar companies that do internet security, cybersecurity. But we're also going to have a bunch of panels discussing the future of cybersecurity. We have a keynote speaker on Wednesday, the 8th, that is Governor Hickenlooper. As you know, Governor Hickenlooper was the chief proponent behind the National Cybersecurity Center here in Colorado Springs at CCS. Mm-hmm. And we have now gotten a new CEO of that entity, Ed Rios, retired Air Force colonel, good friend of mine, who is going to run that operation. But AFCEA is focused on partnering with the National Cybersecurity Center and other entities in town. And Governor Hickenlooper has graciously agreed to come down and give a keynote speech on his view of mm-hmm. the importance of cybersecurity from his state perspective.
Yeah, and we've had the governor on our show, as well as Ed Rios, several times. So, this is a relatively, and it's funny because there's so many, to me, there's so many organizations in town that I'm not familiar with. My background is actually in the IoT mm-hmm. and in critical infrastructure,
right.
energy systems and mm-hmm. whatnot. And I've seen that a lot of the efforts in town haven't focused on that. So I'm really glad to see that this one is kind of making a central focus on IoT.
Yeah, and I think there's organizations that people may not be as familiar with, but should be. For example, the Western Cyber Exchange, mm-hmm. now I think renamed to the National Cyber Exchange
yeah.
that Mike Simmons runs. I've been to several of his meetings. Mm-hmm. We're working some partnerships with him. Ed Rios was on that board as well. So there are entities in town that are getting connected. My concern has always been, are we developing stove pipes of cybersecurity capability? What is the horizontal integration and the communication between these entities mm-hmm. to allow things to work a little bit smoother, make sure everybody understands what we're all doing? And our cyberspace security symposium is one way to do that. So we've made an extra effort to get the governor down here to talk to our audience. We've got the Air Force CIO, the Chief Information Officer of the Air Force, Lieutenant General Bill Bender, is a keynote speaker as well. So he'll bring the Washington, D.C. perspective here. We'll have the Vice Commander of Air Force Space Command, Major General D.T. Thompson, who will come and be a luncheon keynote speaker as well. So we'll get the Air Force Space Command perspective. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get a Washington, D.C. perspective, policymaking, an operational perspective from the Air Force Space Command folks, mm-hmm. And sort of the state and local perspective with the governor and Mike Simmons and his group in the National Cyber Exchange.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get Washington, D.C. perspective, policymaking, an operational perspective from the Air Force Base Command folks, and sort of the state and local perspective with the governor and Mike Simmons and his group in the National Cyber Exchange.
Yeah, so all of which have been on my show here at different times.
Absolutely.
Mike Simmons, all around good, great, you're a good guy is what his title was. It was funny. That was kind of his intro. He's like, just call me all around good guy. So we went with that one.
And it's good because he is an all around good guy.
He is a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ed Rios is a terrific guy as well, well suited to do the job. And so we're looking forward to further collaboration with him. Because what we're really all about is working with these entities to really solve these cybersecurity threat issues that are pervasive in our society. Mm-hmm. It's not just your cell phone anymore. If you've got connectivity to your refrigerator, someone can get connectivity to your house. If you've got connectivity from a mobile device to your home security system and you've got a security camera monitoring your house, someone else can take that and have security monitoring of your house as well.
Yeah.
So with all the convenience comes the challenges of security, and that's what we're looking at.
And then there's the fact that your refrigerator shouldn't be buying a car.
That's right. And if you're not careful, you'll get the bill.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. So you talked about stovepipes, and recently I've been introduced to AVSIA. I'm not a traditional military cybersecurity guy. I'm a, you know, the other side of the energy critical infrastructure. And you know, I've seen those stovepipes as well here in Colorado Springs, where there is such a big military community that that becomes the main focus here. So how do you see that when you said breaking down those stovepipes and those verticals, how do you see that happening?
It's a tough effort. It's a tough effort for several reasons. You've just explained one. We are a military community and have been a military community for many, many years. And because Air Force Base Command has this mission of cybersecurity as well as space, it sort of becomes the focus. But there's good and bad in that. The goodness of that is that breeds a lot of defense contractors in the commercial world that can help solve and provide solutions to Air Force Base Command. After all, the Department of Defense depends on its myriad of contractors to provide these solutions, and they work hand in hand. So you've got the purely government on one side, Air Force Base Command, Department of Defense. You've got their support contractors, the aerospace corporations, the MITRE corporations, what we call the defense contractors. And you've got the traditional defense contractors, the General Dynamics, the Northrop Grumman's, the Symantecs, the Verizon's, the AT&T's, all working together to solve these issues. My concern in previous statement on the stovepipes was, you've got this National Cybersecurity Center here at UCCS. You've got an effort at the Air Force Academy called Air Force CyberWorks. You've got Armed Forces Common Electronics Association, that's us. You've got the Western Cyber Exchange, now the National Cyber Security Exchange. You've got all these different entities. And if we're not careful, we could be ineffective because we're going in different directions without any collaboration. So one of our goals is to provide a forum for that kind of collaboration. And every entity has a leader that's open-minded and willing to do that because we're all trying to solve many of the same issues. And we're approaching it different ways with different audiences. Not any one entity can solve it all. Armed Forces Common Electronics Association is not going to solve all the SCADA issues that are out there in the regular world. We're not going to solve all the state and local issues. But we need to have access to what they're doing and provide a forum for these discussions. And so we provide these forums at the Broadmoor once a year, in addition to many other
Do you do like a monthly meeting with the FCIA?
FCIA has a monthly meeting, about 8 meetings a year. We take the summer off. We just had a luncheon today, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, at the Air Force Academy.
Okay.
Where Colonel Jeff Collins, who's a director of Air Force Cyberworks, mm-hmm. Gave a presentation to about 80 members about what his direction is for Air Force Cyberworks, what kind of programs they're working on, how that he has directed the cadets at the Air Force Academy to work with civilian companies, commercial companies, to solve some tough scenarios and real-world problems. Mm-hmm. So Air Force Cyberworks has a design thinking sort of mode of operations, but they are really there to solve some of the toughest challenges in the cybersecurity world, working in conjunction, working hand-in-hand with commercial companies. It's a great concept, but they're not alone. They're also working with the Catalyst Campus Southern Colorado Technology Association, or Alliance, down at the Catalyst Campus, mm-hmm. and CTRAC, the Center for Technical Research and Commercialization, on a lot of tech transfer ideas. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to bridge the gap with all these entities and not necessarily bring a single focus, but make sure everyone understands what we're all doing. Because we're all pursuing, maybe it's the same thing in the end, but different approaches with different audiences to get there.
Yeah, we all want to better the industry, but we all have the different silos, stovepipes have a different approach to what
and
does
that. And I
take
very seriously sort of the mission of AFSEA, which again is sort of bridge that gap, provide a forum for the ethical discussion between the government and civilian companies, commercial companies, mm-hmm. on how we best attack these problems and solve these problems. And so we have a number of luncheons a year, as you said, and we will have this big symposium annually, and there are other symposia held throughout the United States with much the same focus on cybersecurity, different themes, mm-hmm. but much the same focus. How do we get there from here? It's a tough problem.
So do you have any ideas about how it is we get there from here?
Well, we're going to talk about that on at our symposium, and we're going to hear various panels with representatives from the major companies like Verizon, the telcos.
Give us some examples of the different panels and what the topics will be.
We have several different panels that will discuss the themes of the event. And so the first day on Tuesday, the first full day, mm-hmm. That's about connecting. How are these Internet of Things devices connected? The second day, Wednesday, will be protecting. How do we protect these capabilities from intrusion? Mm-hmm. And then the third day is impact. What's the impact of what we're doing? How do we make things better? What are the solutions that we would propose, and how would we propose them? What are the funding impacts? What are the personal impacts on individuals? What are the impacts on organizations? And so connecting, protecting, and impacting is sort of the theme that we will walk through with different panels. We've got retired Lieutenant General Harry Radege with experts on his panel from Washington, D.C., from Cisco, from different companies. We've got keynote speeches, again, Governor Hickenlooper and the Vice Commander of Air Force Base Command offering their views on how we move forward from here. Mm-hmm. And so there's just, and we have, I'll mention about 10 different what we call tech talks. Tech talks are 45-minute discussions that we allow individual companies to sponsor. Mm-hmm. So they'll go off in a room, an open invitation. If you want to hear what their technologies are and how you can partner with them, then you'll go to that room and talk to a Verizon. If you want to hear what AT&T is doing, if you want to hear what Symantec is doing, if you want to hear what some of the smaller companies are doing, you get to pick the topic of interest that you want and go focus on that in a 45-minute to one-hour session, in addition to the large conference room discussions that we're going to have.
Yeah.
So we've got a plethora of opportunities to really understand what
are
the problems
we're attacking. And those are all kind of breakouts.
Those are breakout sessions that we call tech talks.
Okay.
But it's an opportunity to really focus and develop partnerships and network with other companies to see how you might collaborate mm-hmm. on solving some of these problems.
So if you had to say there's something you're excited about, a new technology that's going to be there, a small company that has something, do you have anything like that you recommend?
Yeah, we've got several smaller companies that are coming in that are brand new that have never been part of this before. Mm-hmm. As I look at the symposium as a whole and what we're doing that's different from last year, mm-hmm. because of what our mission is to generate funds for youth and for students, I would say the most exciting thing this year is our Capture the Flag exercise, which is going to bring students together in sort of a hacking exercise to see who wins. And that's a hands-on event that I think you're familiar with.
Absolutely. We have a team from Colorado Technical University.
We'll bring together different teams from different universities. Mm-hmm. But that's new and innovative for us. And I looked at this last year and I said, we need to do something that's more hands-on and get students in here to show off their wares and compete. And so we developed this Capture the Flag exercise being sponsored by Deloitte and Touche, and we're really excited about that. The second thing is that we're doing a Wounded Airman sponsorship event on Monday evening, and that's a fundraiser for Wounded Airmen, much like Wounded Warriors. And that's going to be at the Broadmoor Hotel, and that's going to be a fun night called a casino night. And so you'll have the ability to go in there and do some mock gambling, spend some money, lose some money. And it's all to raise funds for Wounded Airmen. So I never forget that what we're really here for is to raise funds for those who are seeking STEM degrees, for other programs to help our Wounded Airmen. And we actually give away a house every year in conjunction with the Air Force Association. They pick a Wounded Airman that's been on fallen on hard times, and they actually give him a house, build a house and give it to him and let him live in it with his family. It's a great opportunity to understand what we're doing for Wounded Airmen.
Yeah. So now the community, talk to them and say, how do we get involved? Not just this event, but what is the AFSEA? We go on your site, we do a membership, what type of commitment, what type of volunteer things you have. But tell us about how we can get involved, just somebody that wants to come get involved with AFSEA.
Yeah, we have a website that really explains our board of directors, volunteer opportunities. We have volunteer opportunities available at the symposium, for example. So if you volunteer to be on the security committee, if you volunteer to be on the welcoming committee, if you volunteer to be on the floor committee, there are several different committees you can actually get to.
Do you still need them now, or are you all
filled up? We're not quite filled up yet. We still need volunteers, and we have a website where you can go in and look for a volunteer opportunity. And so getting involved, we look for corporate sponsors, businesses that want to get involved from a corporate perspective. You can also get an individual membership. So individual memberships range from $20 a year to a couple hundred bucks a year, depending on what level of industry you are or if you're in government or not. And so what we're always looking for is younger and younger people.
So you have like a student discount for that membership?
We have a student discount. We have opportunities to give away free memberships. Mm-hmm. We're really focused on what we call young AFSEANs between ages 20 and 35. And so in college kids, post-high school kids, up through the early phases of their career, we really emphasize getting involved in an organization that provides networking opportunities, that provides access to job opportunities in the future, that provides a lifetime of networking capability in the industry that you've chosen. If you're in this cyber business, you're going to be in it for a long time. You're going to run into the same people again and again. Mm-hmm. And people network to get new jobs, new opportunities, better jobs, higher paying jobs, and find opportunities that may not be in the location that you're in that you're interested in. And so this is a great networking opportunity as well as a great professional development opportunity. And as I said, the Colorado Springs Business Journal voted us the number two professional organization in Southern Colorado, so we're pretty proud of that.
Yeah, that is something to be proud of. Well, definitely, thanks for joining today, and send us a link I'll put underneath the write-up for the podcast about how people can get online, and especially for the students to get the memberships, because that's what I'm really passionate about here is helping the students out to become part and get plugged into the community, which is what this is all about.
That's fantastic. We go up to Boulder every year to the ROTC detachment up there at Boulder, University of Colorado. We hand out scholarships and we hand out awards. In fact, we had a student.
Well, you're welcome to come here.
We should be invited here, but we love when students come while they're in college and understand what we're all about and want to be a part of it and see this as an opportunity for a lifetime membership with this organization that's going to be a lifetime of work for them.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining today, and we're definitely glad to hear from AFSEA and look forward to your event coming up.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate being here, and best of luck to you, too.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.